Matthew. We shall read verse 7 and verse 8. Are you with me in Matthew? Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. May God give interpretation to his word to every one of you in Jesus' name. As we continue our series of the mind of Christ, we shall look at the topic today, the Beatitudes. Somebody say the Beatitudes. If you don't know how to call it, just say Beatitudes. Say Beatitudes. You are not talking to me. Beatitudes. In other words, the beautiful attitude. That is what we want to look at this morning. From our text of Philippians chapter 2, you will notice that Jesus was described as a man who emptied himself. And he took, after emptying himself, he took another form. He took the form of a servant. And the Bible says, being born in the likeness of men. And verse 8, which is where I'm going through, I want to say something under verse 8. Says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Somebody say humanity. Now, a lot of times, as I said some Sundays ago, some of us think humanity is sinfulness. When you commit sin, you say, I'm only a human. God did not create humanity with sin. So Jesus came to show us the example of humanity. And this example, he also described when he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to understand how to be a human being, study the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. That is Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. That is what it means to be a human being. Amen. This morning, we shall just take a glimpse of the teaching of humanity. How to be a human being, so that next time when you commit sin, you will not say, I'm only a human. Next time when you make some wrong attitudes, wrong behavior, you say, I'm only a human. Now, there's a difference between humanity and flesh. Do you understand that? The flesh is different from being a human because God created human beings in his own image. He created them in his image and in his likeness. In this study this morning, briefly, I trust God that God will develop in you these beatitudes, these beautiful attitudes, so that you can express what Jesus expressed on earth in his human form. I pray that in course of learning and understanding the beatitudes, you will know what these beatitudes are and what they are not. It will help you to worship God, know how to worship God better. It will also help you to demonstrate an openness to God's work in your life, because the work God did in your life is for you to represent him. Jesus was God, but he was also fully human, as I've said in my introduction. So this beatitude demonstrates the needs and the givings of being a human being. So let me go quickly. The first four beatitudes, can we mention the beatitudes? Number one, poor in spirit. Number two, mourn. Number three, meekness. Number four, hunger and thirst. Number five, what? Merciful. Number six, pure in heart. Number seven, peacemaker. And number eight, persecuted. Eight beatitudes. And now these eight beatitudes are divided into four groups. Into two groups, rather. Two groups. The first group is the first four, and the second group is the second four. Now, when we talk about the first group, they are keys. The four first beatitudes are keys to the heart of God. They are keys to where? You know, Jesus says, "Behold, I give you the keys." Did you read that scriptures? Now we want to learn the keys. Sometimes we think that key is casting and binding. We think that the keys is only to call the blood of Jesus. Now, in this teaching, Jesus gave us the keys to the heart of God. If I want to log into the heart of God, I need to develop these four attitudes in my life. Number one, poor in spirit. Number two, mourn, be a mourner. Number three, be meek. Bible says, do you know why Moses could enter into God's heart? And the Bible says he was the meekest man on earth. Meekness is a key to the heart of God. Then number four, a hunger and a taste after righteousness opens God's heart for you. How many of you want to enter into God's heart? Hallelujah. Some don't want to enter. If you want to enter, raise your two hands. That kind of place you want to enter, you raise two hands and two legs. Amen. If you enter the heart of God like David did, he said, David is a man after my heart. There is nothing God will not do for you. Now, how will you enter? Be poor in spirit. We are going to learn what it means. Be a mourner. The word mourning, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word mourning simply means brokenness. Do you understand that? God does not look at your sacrifice, but a broken and a contrite spirit he will not despise. Have you read that scriptures? And number three, meekness and hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are keys to God's heart. And they are what we also need in our lives to prepare us to build the character of Christ. Now, the last four, which are mercy, pure in heart, peacemaker, and persecuted, are keys to Christ's character. Are keys to what? The first four are keys to what? The second four are keys to what? Christ's character. If you want to be in the character of Jesus, you must have these four beatitudes. They are keys to Christ's character because we needed God. He gave us himself, and we are becoming like Christ. So these second four qualities are Christ-like qualities. Now, let's look at them one after the other. Pure in spirit, poor in spirit. Verse 3 of Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it is a principle of need. Someone say need. That means someone who is poor in spirit is in need of a spirit. Is in need of God. No wonder the hymn writer says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender love like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Are you always in need of God? Now hear me. The world is going to the point to tell people that we don't need God. As humans, as people, you can provide things for yourself. You don't need God. No, God is not happy with that kind of attitude. A heart that is always in need of God. When you are always in need of something, you are always longing for that thing. That is what it means to be poor in spirit. Now, Jesus gave us example of the little children. The little children are always in need of their parents, true of us. They are always wanting their parents. They are always in need at one time or the other. If always, they are always in need. So be like the little children. In Luke chapter 18, from verse 10, Jesus talked about two men who went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a tax collector. Remember the story? The Pharisee went and he said, Lord, I thank you, for I am not like that tax collector. I pay my tithe. I give my offering. Lord, I thank you because I'm not like him. But the tax collector came and said, Lord, I am not even worthy to stand before you, a sinner like me. And Jesus said, the tax collector went home justified because he came as someone in need of help. The day you get with your relationship with God and feel that you don't need help, you just come, it's just a prayer self. You are just saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. Be in need of God all the time. You are a needy person before God. You cannot get all. Number two, quickly, mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. I'm not interested in what they will be. I'm interested in what they are now. Mourning means brokenness. It's this principle of brokenness. You have to be broken. When you come before God, you have to be what? Broken. In those days, how many of you were in the days of SU? Wave your hands if you experienced SU. In SU days, we tie our hair, cover it well. These days, they want to fly their hair. In SU days, if you are coming out for salvation, you'll be crying. True or false? Nowadays, they are coming out for salvation. You see somebody put his hand in his pocket. He's coming to receive Christ. Put his hand in his pocket. Someone even chewing chewing gum. Is that a broken person? See, brokenness, I know it's of the heart, but even it manifests of your expressions. Some of us are big man. We are doing big manism before God. Some of you come to church, they say dance, you just to hell with them. You have to be broken. I pray for the days when people will come. You know, last Sunday, how many of you were in church last Sunday? The choir sang a song that you are supposed to be crying and you are clapping. What is that song again, Pastor Promise? Eh? My dear Lord, let me want what you want. And you think you have gotten what God, you are doing what God wants. Instead of you to cry and say, Lord, help my life. You are just, we have become clapping in church. We like clapping. Even after prayer yourself, it's only when they tell you, let's give Jesus a hand of praise, you clap. You pray prayer, finish hot prayer, you won't clap. Church has become a clapping committee. Everything, we are excited. When you are supposed to be crying. Are you ready for me today? Are you ready for me today? Jesus was broken. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected. Number three, meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's a principle of submission. Somebody say submission. When you are meek, you have submitted to God. Now, poor in spirit is, what is the principle? Principle of what? Need of God. Mourning, what is the principle? Brokenness. Now, number three, meekness. What is this principle? Submission. A meek person is a submissive person. Somebody who is meek is not arrogant. Somebody who is meek is not insolent. Somebody who is meek always submits to God's will, submits to God's purpose. Some of you drag with God as if you are dragging with your mate. In fact, some of you use God to drag with God. Should I explain that? Or you understand? When you use God to drag with God, God is telling you something to do and you did not do it. You say God understands. Hello? How many of you have said, God understands? I will answer that person. Anybody that says, God does not understand this kind of thing. All what God understands is obedience. Prompt obedience. That's what he understands. Even partial obedience, God don't understand partial obedience. Saul obeyed God. God says, go and destroy the Amalekites. Leave nothing. Defeat them and destroy them. Saul went. Did he defeat them? Yes, he defeated them. Did he destroy them? Yes, he destroyed them. But he carried some cow and some fat goats and brought back to Jerusalem. When the prophet asked him, what is this? He says, they are for sacrifice. He won't help God. If God needed sacrifice, oh my God. Didn't God provide a sacrifice for Abraham? Some of you like helping God. God does not need your help. You are the one that need help. So when God has already ordained that this is your assignment, you still say, let me go and pray about it. Who are you praying to? Be meek. Tell your neighbor, be meek. Or say it this way, be submissive. Number four, hungry. Ask your neighbor, are you hungry? Let your neighbor answer you. Some of you, the yes is food hunger, food. It's food hunger that is worrying some of you now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? After what? It is not the hunger and thirst after your lust. It's not the hunger and thirst after your fleshy desires. It's a hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. A man who is hungry for righteousness will be so angry with himself when he commits sin. We look for every way to come out. A man who is hungry for righteousness will speak and stand for righteousness wherever he or she find themselves. Say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. It is the principle of yearning. Yearning. You want to do more for God. You want to live in righteousness every day for God. You want to know about Him, about His righteousness always. Then you are blessed. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. Now, that is a good example of what I just said. John 4. Jesus was hungry, physically hungry. He sent his disciples to go to the town to buy him what? Food. While they have gone, he was also thirsty. And he saw a woman who came to fetch water. He said, madam, fetch some, make I drink now. The woman look in beer. This man is a Jew. In those days, all this beer you are keeping now, in those days, your beers is according to where you are from. As he looked, Jesus, said, this man a Jew. So, God, you be Jew, I be Samaritan. I go give you water now. She on a claim, say, Nana, get the temple. We will claim, say, now we get mountain. So, Moko, na stay your own. I stay. You go die of thirst, too. Very bad tribalism. Wicked tribalism. The devil is a liar, even among the children of God. Hear me? And Jesus said to her, man, where they tasty, come they tell woman, say, if you know who they talk to you, huh? If he give you water, where you go drink, where you will not taste. Woman look and say, Kai, this man, they taste, he need water. He saying, go give me water. That means this man carry something. Say, give me that water to drink. And Jesus was talking with the woman. The disciples came and said, oh God, we don't bring food. He said, no. No. This is not time for this. Huh? Say, my food, my meat is to do the will of the one who sent me. Christmas Day, some of you, they cook for house. You not come to church. Evangelism Day, you are busy frying akara and doing breakfast. No evangelism. Anytime, cook, food, eat, take evangelism, worship, prayer, time from you. You are not hungry. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A hungry man will always look for where there is food. Are you hearing me? And now this food is the word of God. Say, desire the sincere milk of the word of God so that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire it. Hunger for it. Pursue it. And definitely, there's nobody who will look for God who was desperate that God did not satisfy. Oh, I like Moses. No wonder. Moses is a typical example. You know, Moses met God at Mount Horeb, true or false? I don't know why you're a Bible student. Where did Moses meet God first? Huh? What did he see? Burning bush, not fire. Burning bush. If you say fire, now you will call firefighter. Burning bush, different from fire. Because the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. It is the presence of God. And God said, Moses, I cannot go on this journey. I don't have anything. He said, what is in? Moses Moses saw power that day. Is that not so? He went to Egypt. Did he see power throughout being in Egypt? Every day, God, they do mighty power. Not be so. And God led them. The Red Sea parted. By day, the pillar of cloud by day goes with them. Not these days that you feel God's presence. Then they see him. By night, you see the pillar of fire going with them. But in Exodus 33, Moses said, there is something more than this. I want to know God more than this. I have seen sea parts. I have seen pillar of fire. I have seen pillar of cloud. I have seen burning bush. I have seen it, but there is more to God. So in Exodus 33, it says, now show me your glory. And now that glory is talking about not smoke, because he has seen smoke. He was a hungry man. And God said, this glory you are asking for. No man. What he was saying, asking God, God, I want to see your face. Face to face. I've been hearing your voice. It is not enough for me. I want to see your face. Some of you never even hear voice. Some of you, you don't even feel, you have not even got to the point to feel God's presence touch your body. Moses, I've seen all that, but he said, no, Lord, there's deep. You are deep. I need to go further. Show me your face. And God said to Moses, no man that sees my face can live. In other words, what God was telling Moses, only dead men that can see my face. And God took Moses in his hand. How many of you have gotten that kind of experience? And you are feeling as if you have known God. God took Moses in his hand and placed him on the cliff. And passed by Moses. The Bible says Moses saw his back. Just pass. I have never seen anybody, sir, that have gone to that point. It's a matter of your hunger. God is ready to show you himself. But he wants to see how hungry you are. Hallelujah. May the Spirit of God pour up your spirit. May the hunger for God increase in your life. May the hunger for his presence increase in your life. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now for these four attitudes. The basic principle for happiness is your need. It's key to God. Now your focus on this is turn your mind towards God. For you to be poor in spirit, always turn your mind towards who? God. You learn about God, study his word. You learn that God is God and focus on God. What command in the Bible that will help you to achieve this is Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. When you love God, you have need of him all the time. When you love God, you'll be desperate, you'll be hungry for him. When you love God, you will submit to him. Now, these four attitudes, they are doors to your greatness. Anyone who wants to be great in the kingdom of God, who wants to be used of God for mighty works, must develop these four attitudes of poor in spirit, of brokenness, of hunger and thirst after righteousness, of what again? Now, what's the fourth one? Meekness. God does not like proud people. Part two, the last four, and let me quickly push it. The last four. Number one, merciful. Somebody say merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. Mercy begat mercy. It's the principle of reciprocity. Eh? You give mercy, what will you get? You give forgiveness, what will you get? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, most times we forget that aspect of the Lord's Prayer. We forget that he says, forgive us our trespasses as. Man of God, am I correct? Did the Bible use us? As we forgive. That means our receiving forgiveness is conditioned on we giving forgiveness. That's why these four principles are giving principles. You give. The first four, you become. Is that not so? The last four is what you give. Mercy. Be merciful. Because God is what? Merciful. Says, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Matthew 9:2. They brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus had pity on him. Is that not so? He had pity on him. Jesus was a man full of mercy. He will look at the crowd, and the next thing he will say, I have compassion on the crowd. Be merciful. Learn to forgive people. Learn to give mercy to people. Amen. Number two, pure in heart is the principle of a perfect heart. Someone say a perfect heart. Your heart is very important. Now, how will your heart give? It's out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. Most times, what you speak out of your mouth is what is in your heart. What is in your heart. So, if you want to have a perfect heart, you must develop a pure heart. Purity is the emphasis. Purity of thoughts. Purity of imaginations. Purity of what you think or of perception. Let your thought be pure. Not be defiled. Not be filled with. Don't defile your thoughts with what you watch on TV. You know, what you watch on TV can defile your heart, can defile your thoughts. Some of you watch rubbish, pornography, you watch all sorts of things. And you corrupt your heart, your thoughts corrupted, and your talk begin to be corrupted. If your heart is corrupt, your talk will be what? Corrupt. If your heart is full of bitterness, what will come out of your mouth? Bitterness, abuses. You'll be abusing people. May God purify your heart. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What does it say? Philippians 4, 8. Bible students. Eh? Okay, let's read it together. Some of you don't know Bible. You must know Bible in this church. If you don't know Bible, we'll give you church discipline. Oh yeah, let's read Philippians 4, 8 together. Want to go? Do you see the things you should be thinking about? Eh? Should you be thinking about who offended you? Should you be thinking about who did you wrong? Should you be thinking about who you will catch? Who you will fight? Should you be thinking about immorality? What should you think about? What is the thing you should think about? Now you read scripture, you have forgotten. What is there? So think about those things. What are those things? Whatever is true, don't be thinking false things. See, anybody that carry negative vibes near you, tell the parents, say, stay on your own. You know, some people carry negative vibes. Everything they talk, everything, because their thought is full of false things. In fact, some who they are a ball.
is raised to power 100. You know Amebo? How many of you know what is Amebo? Olofofo, Otofo, Tatafo. You have to speak some language so that the lowest person can understand. Tatafo. Some people have, as they come near you like this, they will spoil somebody before you, Abi. And your what they say has a way of affecting your thoughts. Tell your neighbor, if you carry negative vibes, look at your neighbor now. Say, neighbor, if you carry negative vibes, don't near me. In fact, next Sunday, don't sit with me. Praise God. Whatsoever is true. Give us that scripture again. Whatsoever is lovely. Is that not so? Whatsoever is trustworthy. Whatsoever is honorable. Whatsoever is what again? Commendable. Pure. Excellent. Every spirit of mediocrity should not near you. Average spirit. Some of you think that, no, I cannot make it more than this. Let me just stay where I am. It is not a good, your thought is not pure. These are the things, whatever is praiseworthy, those are the things you should be thinking about. Oh God, renew my thoughts. Can you say that prayer? Oh Lord, renew my thoughts. Give me good thoughts, pure thoughts. Praiseworthy thoughts, lovely thoughts. Go, give me just thoughts. Give me excellent thoughts, commendable thoughts, praiseworthy thoughts. Let them fill my mind, fill my thoughts in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. May God give you a perfect heart. Number three, peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the trouble finders, for they shall be called. Who said it? If peacemakers are children of God, peacebreakers are who? Children of the devil. Now, if you always cause division, you are a children of the devil, a child of the devil. If you always want to separate two friends, you are a child of who? Let's be practical. Wherever you enter, if confusion not there, that place is not good. You know, there are some people like that. If there's no controversy, there's no confusion. No, this place is not, nothing is happening here. It's not vibrant enough. They like confusion. Now, demonic spirit be that. The place of God is a place of tranquility. It's a place of peace. Is that not so? It's a place of unity. People will just say, may that devil not worry you in this church. Yeah. You know, there are some churches, some people will just say, let's cause something. The church don't too quiet. Agents of darkness. We drive them out of our church. The principle of peacemaking is the principle of reconciliation. Now, it's not that you will not offend each other, but the ability to reconcile, that is that you are a peacemaker. Anyone who takes the first step of reconciliation is a peacemaker. The one who is waiting for the other to come and apologize is a trouble lover. Because the principle of peacemaker is the principle of what? Reconciliation. For God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He did not give us the ministry of causing trouble. It's a ministry of what? How many of you have the ministry of fight? Fighting ministry. Quarreling ministry. You know, some people have that ministry. Look your neighbor face. Some people will go, no place where they have a quarrel. Look your neighbor face. What does your face look like? And also make you say the person they quarrel. What does your face look like? Somebody has a quarrel.
Husband, some husband, they look their wife face. Every quarrelsome woman, may God deliver you. Because the Bible says it's better for the man to pack his bag and stay on the rooftop than to stay inside the house with a broiling woman. These days too, some men are so quarrelsome. Everything, they pick quarrel. Everything, they pick quarrel. May God deliver them. Now, within you and your spouse, who first of all seek for reconciliation when there is problem? Barnabas. You. Since my spirit led me to you. He is the peacemaker. You know, the truth is, oh God, have mercy. The truth is that some women. Sabi keeps something for mind though. The man don't talk the thing, don't walk out, come on, he don't even forget. He come back. Only where's my food? Food call. What is the problem, huh? You don't know what is the problem, Abby. You don't know what is the problem. May God make every woman in this church a peacemaker. Amen. Always seeking to reconcile. Praise God. Number four, blessed are they which are persecuted. Persecuted. How many of you have been persecuted? If you never enjoy persecution, your Christianity still got a problem. Amen. Are you hearing me? So, if you have not been persecuted, your Christian life has comma. Some it has question mark. Some it have apostrophe. Some he has column. Should I tell you the difference? Comma small. When you enter apostrophe, you know what it means. Some he enter big question mark. You say, yeah, is this person truly a Christian? In your office, everything they do is okay. You even join them. Say, let us sign that we came 7 a.m. When you came 10 a.m., you sign. It's okay. It is normal. Everybody is doing it. You avoid persecution. Say if I talk now, they will say, Namiki Jesus Christ. They go sideline me in the office. I will not be seeing those small things that come if I talk the truth. So you keep quiet. Boom. Your Christian life has, boom, question mark. The principle of being persecuted is the principle of identification. Someone say identification. It says, if they persecute the master, if they did all these things to me as your Lord and master, they will do, Jesus told his disciples that, they will do more. So when you face persecution, you are identifying with who? With Christ. You are giving the world, showing the world that come what may, I am for Jesus. Oh, they told the disciples, they flogged them, they lashed them very well and said, we are letting you go, but never you speak on that name again. If Peter and John were some of us, the best of us will keep quiet and say, well, we'll still go and do what we want to. The baddest of us will keep quiet and go back. They will not preach again. But Peter stood up and said, oh, guys, what are you saying? Should we obey God? Should we obey men rather than God? Who shall we obey? We must obey God, though, who has given us this mandate. That means, what are they calling for? More flogging. Praise God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O king, even if our God will not save us, we will not bow to this calf, to this image. They stood and they identified with their God. If you have not come to the point in your Christian life that you have opportunity to identify with Christ, then your Christian life is still shaking. May God cause you to grow up. Amen. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that persecution is part of your Christianity. What we are facing in Nigeria, is it today that Christians have been persecuted? In fact, what we have even seen is not up to what Peter, John, all those disciples they saw. Some of them, they burned them alive. Eh? Then now you can still worship and carry your Bible about. In the first century, second century, they cannot carry Bible about. They cannot worship in open place. They have to go and worship under caves, hiding. Your own don't reach like that. Eh? No, talk to me now. Teenagers, you don't reach like that. You can still worship God as you like. So you never see persecution. Or we'll send you to Sambisa Forest for mission work. How many of you go there for church planting? Nobody's talking. All right. These four are bases for your giving. They are keys to Christ's character. The focus of these four is to turn your mind towards others. The first four, the focus is turn your mind towards who? God. But this second four is to turn your mind towards who? Others. The command in this is that love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is the object? God walks through you to reveal himself to a watching world. You become identified with Christ as you reveal his character to others. When you reveal the character of Christ to others, you are identifying with Christ. Can others see Jesus in you? There's that hymn, why passing through this world of sin? Da, 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 da. What is that part? Let all that see Jesus see you. Let all that see Jesus see you, in you. In you. Keep telling thy story, be faithful and true. Let all that see Jesus in you. Can you turn to a neighbor and sing that song to your neighbor? Point the neighbor. Let all that see Jesus in you. Say it to him or her. All that see Jesus in you. Keep telling thy story, be faithful and true. Let all that see Jesus in you. I conclude by saying, circumstances in your life are opportunities for God to work in you and through you. God will use circumstances to develop these beatitudes in your life. Do you understand that? For you to know whether you are merciful, God will bring somebody to your life that will offend you in Jesus' name. They didn't say amen. Whether you say amen or not, are there not people in your life that offends you? Because God will always bring circumstances to, even after we share the grace now, before some of you even leave that door, there will be a test of your attitude. God will always arrange situation to see
whether you have developed these beautiful attitudes. It is not by saying, oh, I have a pure heart. It's not by saying, oh, I'm a peacemaker. Hey, face trouble. They will know whether you are truly a peacemaker. Before you blame somebody who is not making peace, wait until you are in that person's situation. Are you understanding me? Before you know whether it is, whether it's easy to make peace. You know, there are some people that are difficult to make peace with. The more difficult they are, the more God wants you to grow. I pray again, may many circumstances come your way to help you develop these beautiful attitudes. Can you say believe in amen?